Welcome to Season 2, Episode 9 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the proper view of worship. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about our topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. In John chapter 4, Jesus spoke with a Samaritan woman about, among other things, worship. He told her that God is seeking people to worship Him in verse 23, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth, verse 24. We often talk about worshiping in truth, that is, doing what God has said when we gather together to worship. Worshiping in spirit refers to our attitude and our mindset. This is what we're going to focus on in this episode. How should we approach our worship to God? So we're going to consider five ways we can have the proper view of worship. Number one, we must view worship as something special. We should view worshiping God as something special, but some have the idea that everything we do in service to God is worship. We discussed this idea in more detail 3 weeks ago, and you can find the link to that episode in the show notes. But the result of that attitude is that worship is no longer special, but is common. There are two different Greek words that are translated worship in our English Bibles, proskuneo, used in John 4:24, worship in spirit and truth, and latreia, used in Romans 12:1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Proskuneo means to make obeisance or do reverence to, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary. Latreia means to serve, to render religious service or homage, also Vine's. This meaning does have some overlap with proskuneo. We might say that all worship, proskuneo is service, latreia, but not all service is worship. The things we do in praise to God, directed to Him, are worship. The things we do in our lives as Christians, our acts of obedience, are service. We should be careful about how we interpret the statement in John 4, 20 and 21. The woman made the statement in verse 20, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." So Jesus replied in verse 21, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." Some people read those verses and point out that the Jews and Samaritans would go somewhere to worship, and then they would say that Jesus said the time was coming when they wouldn't have to go anywhere to worship because we worship God all the time with everything that we do. That is not what Jesus was saying in those verses. Jesus did not say that we will not go somewhere to worship. What he said was the place that we go is irrelevant. We are not limited to certain places to offer worship to God, such as in Jerusalem or in a certain mountain. We can worship Him anywhere. When we do, we need to realize that it is a special occasion. So when we worship God, we must approach that worship properly, recognizing that it is something special. Number two, we need to enter into worship with a prepared heart. We have the example of the Israelites at Mount Sinai in Exodus 19. The Lord gave Moses instructions for the people to make preparations for the third day when the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, in verse 11. Moses consecrated them and told them to wash their garments and not go near a woman, verse 14 and 15. The people were going to be before the Lord, so because of this, they were to make certain preparations. We must also make preparations to worship God, and incidentally, going back to the last point, that would be unnecessary if everything that we did was worship. But we must prepare mentally and remove all distractions. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, spoke of leaving a gift at the altar to first go and be reconciled with one's brother in Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Preparations might also be not only mental preparations, but also involve our schedule. The Hebrew writer encouraged his audience to not forsake our own assembling together in Hebrews 10:25. We need to make appropriate preparations in order to worship God properly. Preparations of heart and of mind and also of our time so that we can worship God as He wants us to. Number three, anticipate worship with gladness. David demonstrated the proper attitude in Psalm 122 and verse 1. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We ought to view worship as a joy, not as a chore. Why? Consider Hebrews 10 and verse 25. There are three reasons given in that verse. The Hebrew writer said, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Why should we view our worship together as a joy? Because, as he said, number one, we have the opportunity to be with brethren. Number two, we can encourage one another. And number three, we can look forward to Christ's coming. All of these should cause us to rejoice. The wrong attitude is displayed for us in Malachi 1 and verse 13. With regard to worshiping God, the people would say, oh, what a weariness. Not only was this the wrong attitude, but it led to corruption in their worship. They presented defiled food upon the altar, verse 7. They presented the blind, the lame, and the sick animals for sacrifice, verse 8. They offered what was taken by robbery, in verse 13. This caused God to not accept their offerings and their worship. Verse 10 says, oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. This attitude that leads people to worship in this way, that it is a weariness, that it is a chore, rather than something that causes them joy, that will do the same thing in our worship today. Instead of doing what pleases God, people do what pleases themselves and causes their offering or their worship to be something that God will not accept at all. Some people can only worship in gladness when they have their own way. They talk of so-called traditional worship as being glum and depressing. But the problem is with their attitude and not with their worship. Again, you can go back to listen to the episode that we did 5 weeks ago. The link will be in the show notes about the importance of our attitude and our perspective. We need to have the proper attitude and look forward to occasions to worship God if we are to worship Him properly, worship Him in gladness. Number four, we need to engage in worship with reverence. The Hebrew writer made the point that we need to serve God with reverence and fear in Hebrews 12 and verse 28. It says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, or reverence and godly fear, the King James Version has. Why is this important? Why do we need to serve God in this way? The next verse says, because our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12, 29. We also need to recognize our place before God. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 reminds us that God's thoughts and ways are higher than ours. God's greatness, specifically compared with man, prompted the psalmist to write, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? In Psalm 8, 3 and 4. Our place before God should cause us to worship Him in reverence. Failure to reverence God or to fear God leads to disobedience. When Paul wrote to the saints in Rome, he quoted from several Old Testament prophets in Romans 3, 10 through 18 to demonstrate the sinful state of all men. A few of the phrases in that passage that highlight this idea are that there is none righteous, not even one. All have turned aside. There is none who does good, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. How do people reach the point when they are like this? Notice the last verse in that section, verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If we do not fear God, we will turn away from Him. Remember, John 4:24 says we must worship in spirit and truth. If we do not have the proper spirit in this regard, we will not worship in truth. So if we are going to worship God properly, we must approach Him with reverence. Number five, we need to worship God realizing that He is worthy of our worship. There are several reasons why God is deserving of our worship. One is His work in creation and sustaining life. Paul said in Colossians 1:16-17, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is worthy of our worship because of the blessings he has given us." James 1:17 says, "Every good thing and every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. He is worthy of worship because of the salvation that he has provided to us." Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." He is worthy of worship because he is patient toward us. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." And the list could continue, but all of these and more are reasons why God is worthy of our worship. In addition to being worthy of being worshiped, God also desires people to worship him. Again, Jesus said in John 4:23, "An hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." But we need to remember that even though God desires our worship, he does not need our worship. We do not serve God as though he needed anything, as Paul pointed out in Acts 17:25. Therefore, he is not going to accept just any worship that we offer to him. He will only accept what is done in spirit and truth, John 4:24. If God is worthy of worship, then he is worthy of to be heeded with regard to how we worship. We cannot worship God any way we want and expect to please him. We must worship him in the way that he wants us to. So in conclusion, it is a privilege for us to be able to come and worship God. And as in everything that we do, we must worship in the way that he has prescribed. And we need to have the proper view of worship so we can worship him in spirit and truth. Again, what is the proper way we need to view worship? One, number one, view worship as something special. Number two, enter into worship with a prepared heart. Number three, anticipate worship with gladness. Number four, engage in worship with reverence. And number five, we must worship God, realizing that he is worthy of our worship. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. This episode concludes Season 2 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. We'll be taking a 4-week break, and then Season 3 will begin on July 26th. In that season, we're going to be focusing on lessons from the book of Leviticus. So until then, I hope you have a great month. I'll be back with you here in just a few weeks.